Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Just stand with me, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. Good to hear the pages of the old King James. I don't know what them other pages sound like. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. I'm going to have several references to her, but look at the verse again. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. Our Heavenly Father, I realize this morning that I sit in a place where man cannot stand alone. I realize this morning if you don't help me, my being here would all be in vain. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, as we open the Word of God and begin to study. Lord, several weeks ago I began to think about this message for this morning. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to my heart out of the Word of God this morning. I want to be a help and I want to be a blessing today. I pray you'll give me the mind of Christ. I pray you'll give me the power of God. I pray you'll touch me physically, mentally, most of all with the breath of God this morning. Lord, I would ask you today if there's a mom here today has never been born into the family of God, may this be the day that she'll realize her need of God and come to the Savior. If there should be any individual here this morning has not saved today, I pray, God, you'll speak to them. And I pray you'll do the work that needs to be done, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you to be seated this morning. Had men been writing the heroes of faith, and the Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the heroes of faith. And had men been writing the heroes of faith this chapter, we probably would have not wrote it the way it's wrote this morning. Because of who it includes today. It includes Rahab the harlot. And when you study about her, what a wonderful message it is in her today. And also when you study the genealogy of Christ. If you go to Matthew chapter 1 and study the genealogy of Christ, man probably would not wrote it that way either, because it's got some people in there, their lives was in a mess. Bathsheba, how about that? And others, are you listening to me? We probably wouldn't have wrote it that way. But I'll take this verse here this morning along with some other verses today, and I'll speak to you this morning on mothers of faith. Mothers of faith this morning. And I'll just say this to you today. What would we be without mothers today? I think quite often, I thought about this week, what would I be had not been for my mother? My daddy was a preacher. My daddy was a pastor for 55 years. And many times at night, my daddy wasn't at home. He'd either be somewhere preaching or visiting or getting ready to go to work because it worked nighttime. And many times I remember my mother getting us around. My mom was in here this morning. You would think she stuck up, because she would not speak unless you spoke to her. She wasn't stuck up. She just didn't talk. I had that same problem when God called me to preach. I know y'all don't believe that, but that's the truth. But I remember my mom as a child. When Dad wasn't there to pray with us and read the Word of God with us, she would. My mom was an uneducated lady. She didn't finish high school. She'd get the Bible down, read the best she could to us. I remember this, it spoke to my heart. And I'll just say to you this morning, what would be this morning if it wasn't for godly mothers this morning? By the way, the second person in the Bible was a woman. And what a woman she was. And I'll just say this morning, there's nothing no greater and nothing no godlier than a godly mother that knows the will of God for her life. I think probably the closest thing to an angel on earth, it's a godly mom this morning that knows her place and that lives for God and walks with God. But on the other side of that, there's nothing no worse this morning. How that a mother that doesn't know her place, and a mother that doesn't know the will of God, she wants her will instead of God's will. How sad that is today. And by the way, can I say this before I preach this morning? We're living in a society that's against mothers. How we got people in the high places that's against mothers today. How some of y'all don't know whether men or woman or she'em. Are you hearing me this morning? We're in bad shape. I'm telling it right. But don't say this, see this one. Thank God for mothers today. If you study your Bible this morning, you'll find in the Word of God, the Bible is full of people and mothers this morning that had tremendous faith. Let me ask you this question. What do you think about when I bring up the word Jochebed? Anybody know who Jochebed was? Tell me. Moses' mother. Having a study about Moses' mother, what a godly lady she was. Bible said in Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith when he was born, was hid 3 months of her parents, of his parents. Well, let's read the verse right. By faith when Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he's a proper child and was not afraid of the king's commandment. She took care of him. She is a godly woman when you study about Jezebel. Also, when you study about Ruth this morning, what a woman that had faith in God. What a woman that had faith in God. When you study about Ruth the Moabitess. Does that say anything to y'all? You know who the Moabites was? They were descendants of that awful relationship that Lot had with his daughter. But yet God saved Ruth. And what a tremendous woman of faith. Hey, when you think about the woman of Zarephath, the mother, what tremendous faith she had. So I'll say to you this one, how Bible is full of people this morning, our mothers today, had tremendous faith. Anybody know who Charles Wesley was? John Wesley? Those that helped start the Methodist Church? And the Wesley boys was asked this question one day, which is the best preachers in y'all's family? And they both said, Mama. And that is so true. That is so true. By the way, I told the preacher, I said, I'm going to give all the missionaries a raise and I'm going to ordain 5 women for deacons. I got to move. Listen to me. Wesley boys was asked, which one is the best preacher? And they both said, Mom, Susan Wesley, what a godly woman she was this morning. And don't say this, when you study about these mothers, I'm getting ready to mention this morning, how you'll find that faith is tied to their life. They believe God. They trusted God. They believe God. And I'll say this to you. 528 times in our Bible, it talks about faith. Faith honors God. God honors faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. F-A-I-T-H, forsake all, I trust Him. That's faith this morning. And I'll say this to you this morning. These mothers today, what tremendous faith they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to mention 4 this morning. And if I got any water left, we'll go further. But I didn't mean that. We're going home a little bit. But I want to mention 4 mothers this morning. It's pointed out in the Word of God. That's pointed out because of their faith. And the first one I want to mention this morning is the one I just read about. Look in your Bible again in verse 31. Bible said, by faith, the harlot. Rahab. Why did the Apostle Paul put it that way? And 3 other times in the Bible, as she's recognized as Rahab the harlot. And notice the verse. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. When she received the spies, with peace. I'll say, first of all tonight, Rahab here this morning is known for her saving faith. She's known for her saving faith. If you study again the genealogy, Matthew chapter 1, verse 5 down through that, you'll find that she's mentioned there. And let me just say this to you today. She's known because her saving faith. You remember the story in Joshua chapter 2? After Israel had left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, crossed the Jordan River, and started in the land of Jericho. You remember the story? Joshua sends the spies over. And she receives those spies because had she not received them, the king would have had them killed. So she takes those spies on top of the house and hides them away and protects them. And as a result of that, she lets them down out the window, down by a wall. How with a scarlet robe, or not scarlet robe, but a scarlet thread. How that word scarlet simply means crimson. How which is blood red. And she lets him down with that cord. And you remember the story? He said, now when we do come in and take the city, when we do come in and take the city, how that scarlet cord's going to be hanging out the window. And your home is going to be spared because of that. Here's a mother this morning, thank God, that's got saving faith. Hey, she trusted God, and she got saving faith. And I like what the Bible said in Joshua chapter 2. She said, I heard how the mighty hand of God rolled back the Red Sea. I heard how God had took care of his people. And can I say to you this morning, because she had heard, she got saving faith. And I'll say to you this morning, thank God for a mom that's got saving faith this morning, that trusts God and got saving faith this morning. That scarlet robe, or that scarlet cord, I should say, it's a picture of the blood of Christ. And may I say to you this morning, thank God we're saved because of blood this morning. Hey, they saw the cord hanging out the window, which was crimson red. It's a picture of blood. It's a picture of redemption this morning. And you know what we need in America? We need some save mamas. Save mamas. You won't be out there with a sign running around that other crowd marching. You'll be home taking care of your youngins. Well, I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say this. My daddy told me this years ago. He said in 1941, 42, 43. Brother Robert remembers that well. Of course, he married a younger woman. But 1941, 42, 43. My daddy said this right here. He said what happened in America was all the men went off to war and the mothers went to work on a job and said it's got worse ever since. Now, I know y'all not going to like me for what I'm getting ready to say. If women would just find their place. Are you hearing me? There ain't nothing in the world. I don't never remember going home at night. At my mother didn't have a hot meal. She didn't have the house clean. Are you listening to me? You know, we got these husband. How you call that? House husbands. They stay at home, the wife works. I'm in trouble. Deacons surround me after this service. There's something wrong with that picture somewhere. Hey, hear me tonight. Are you listening to me? Hey, this mama's a save. How'd I get off on that? This mother is a saved woman. And because her faith, hear me this morning, thank God. And by the way, you can say what you want to. We was a lot better off when men were in their right place and women in their right place. This country is a whole lot better off. Are y'all hearing me? And you say, well, we starved to death. I didn't. At five, six others, my family didn't. I'm moving. Y'all think I'm against women at work, but hear me this morning. I'm just telling you this right. Here's a mom this morning that's got saving faith. And think about that this way. Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot got saving faith. And I'll say this to you this morning. If you're in this service today and you're not saved, you may say, preacher, you don't realize what I've done. Hey, preach, you don't realize where I've been. Hey, preach, you don't realize the mess I've been in. I got some good news, mama. Jesus saves, thank God. Hey, Jesus, I don't care how vile you are. I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how low in sin you've gone. Thank God that's saving grace this morning. I told this story here at this church in 1995 or 96. Brother Robert will remember it. I started a revival meeting one night, and when did this church start? 85? But anyhow, I started a revival meeting one night many, many years ago, back in the 90s, and I stopped at Moore's Department Store. Y'all remember that? Moore's Department Store. And I stopped to buy me a hat. Back of my head gets wet when I preach, and sometimes I wear a hat, keep from getting a sore throat. And it's on a Wednesday night, I was by myself, and just me and the trio, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, are you listening? And I walked into Moore's Department Store in Marksville, North Carolina, to get me a new hat. And I'm standing there trying on hats. Two aisles over is a black man and a white woman. Both of them work in that store. And I'm standing there trying on those hats. I hate doing that. Jerry, I can just feel them cooties. Brother Stan, you don't know who's had that hat on. I believe he's had some of them hats on. Look at his head, but listen to this. I tried on those hats. And 2 aisles over, that black man and that white woman was arguing. Matter of fact, I thought they was going to get in a fight. I really did. And they was arguing. You know what they was arguing about? Brother Randy, eternal security. I thought, my soul. Hell, black boy walked up to me and said, "Hey, man," said, "you're a Robert, aren't you?" I said, "No, sir." Holy Ghost said, "You better tell him the truth." And I said, "I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher." He said, "Wonderful, this woman's going to hell over here. Tell her about Jesus." I said, "I ain't going to do it." That's what he said. I said, "I'm not going to do it." And my dad told me a long time ago, if they're arguing about religion or politics, run. So I wouldn't do it. I went up to pay for that hat. And when I started to pay for that, that woman waited on me. And I paid her and I started out the door. She said, "Wait a minute." She said, "What do you think about eternal security?" I said, "Mama, the question is not eternal security." She said, "Well, what is the deal?" I said, "The deal is, if you drop dead right where you stand right now, you're going to hell or hell." When I said that, she started crying. Tears started running down her face. And I tore in and I said, "Mama, on a hill far away, thank God, stood an old rugged cross." And I began to tell her about Jesus. And all of a sudden, somebody, Brother Ted, tapped me on the back. And I turned around and looked, and it was the manager of the store. He said, "Sir, you can't do that in here." I said, "I already have." So I didn't know the whole story. I grabbed the woman by the arm, took her outside, laid my Bible on the hood of my car in front of the courthouse in Moxville, and told her about Christ, told the whole story about Calvary. She's standing there crying, and I'm standing there preaching. And I said, "Now, Mom, here's the deal. You got to ask the Lord to come into your heart. My prayer won't save you." And I give her the whole plan of salvation, Romans 10:13, the whole nine yards. When I got done praying, I looked up at her and she's not crying. She's not smiling. She's not doing nothing. She looks confused. And I said, "Did you ask the Lord to save you?" She said, "No." I said, "Why?" She said, and she started crying. She said, "Preacher, God can't save me." I said, and I should have never asked that question, "Why do you think God can't save you?" And from everything I could gather from what she said, she was an OX prostitute. I'm not even sure if she knew who the daddy of some of her children were. She's standing there crying, saying, "Preacher, God can't save nobody like me." I said, "Will you let me read you one more verse?" She said, "Please do." I flipped on the book of Timothy, and here's what I read. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief." I said, "Mom, you're pretty bad. But you got here too late. He done saved chief. He done saved the worst one. He done saved the vilest one. He done saved the meanest one." And I said, "Now I'm going to pray with you again. While I pray, you pray." And I prayed with her again, asked the Lord to save her. When I got done, I looked up at her. She's crying and smiling at the same time. I said, "How about it, Mom?" She said, he did. Boy, I grabbed that old prostitute, hugged her. Are y'all hearing me? I'm telling you, thank God, they're saving faith. Hey, Mom, you may be here this morning like Rahab. You may say, "Preacher, I'm too vile. I'm too wicked. There's no way." I want to say there is a way. Thank God there's a fountain filled with blood. Thank God. I want to say this first mother. And by the way, aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners? Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners this morning? When I think about this mother here, how that got Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. And you know who Boaz's mother is? Do y'all know who Boaz was? Boaz was a hero in the book of Ruth. Boaz rescued Ruth the Moabitess. What a wicked woman. The Moabitess. How in the world did Boaz learn to love sinners? Learned it from his mama. Oh yeah, yeah, Rahab was, or his mother. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm telling you this morning, Mom, if you're here and you're not saved, you're in a good place today. And I'll say this real quick. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how vile you've been. I'm glad, thank God, he saves today. He washes it away and never brings it up again. Number two, quickly, not only I want to say, when I look at Rahab, she had saving faith. But when I look at Miss Hannah, do y'all know Miss Hannah? Boy, I love saying about Miss Hannah. Can I tell you who she is? She's Samuel's mother. And we feel it in 1 Samuel will not turn. But in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I preached on her here in the mission conference. 1 Samuel chapter 1, when you study about Hannah, not only Rahab had saving faith, but Hannah had supplicating faith. She could get a hold of God. She could pray. She had supplicating faith. And when you said about Hannah, three things could be said about her real quick. First of all, you see her sanctification. She had an unblemished character. You couldn't find no fault. She had an unblemished. I'm not saying she didn't have sin. I'm just saying there's not even recorded. And I want to say this to you this morning. Her sanctification. A woman this morning that supplicates. A woman that prays. And she has an unblemished character. And I thought about that when I said it this week. Do you realize when Hannah lived, you've got Ruth. Let's go back. You got Judges. Everybody with me? Say amen. The book of Judges. You got Judges. You know what happened to the book of Judges? They didn't have a king. Guess what happened? Every man did that was right in his own eyes. It was one of the wickedest times recorded in the history of time. The book of Judges. And guess who comes on the scene during the book of Judges? A little lady by the name of Naomi and Ruth and Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. Are y'all hearing me? That's the book of Ruth. She stayed there 10 years in Moab. You got Judges, you got Ruth, which is 10 years. Then what you got next? 1 Samuel. So 1 Samuel, you still don't have a king, and you have a wicked, very vile, wicked time. Now, I said every bit of that, make this statement this morning. There's no excuse for not living for God, Mama. She lived for God. I'm talking about her supplication, but we're looking at her life right now. How she lived for God in a wicked time. Let me tell you something this morning. I don't care how vile it gets. I don't care how wicked it gets. I don't care how dirty it gets in this world. There's no excuse for not living for God. Hello, we got the Bible. We got the Holy Ghost in our heart. We got a good fundamental church to come to. We got a pastor that preaches us the Word of God. Hey, she has an unblemished character. She lived for God in a very, very wicked day. You don't only see her sanctification, but then you see her sorrowfulness. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Then you see her supplication. Listen to this verse, verse 11. And she vowed us a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if I will indeed look on the afflictions of thy handmaid and forget not thy handmaid, but give unto thy handmaid a man child, then will I give him back to you all the days of his life. Her supplication, she wouldn't be satisfied. She prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And by the way, the same God that shut her womb is the same God that opened her womb. And you know how it all come about? It come about by prayer. Let me ask you something, Mom. Listen to me, Mom. Hey, are you listening, Mom? Are you listening to me? Listen to this. Your children ever hear you pray? I'm not talking about lay me down and sleep, pray the Lord's soul will keep. If I should die before I wake, don't let me go to the bed place. I'm not talking about that one. Are you listening? I'm talking about, has your child ever heard you pray? I'm glad to say this morning. I don't mean to be boastful. I don't mean to be prideful. I don't mean that at all. I remember hearing my mama pray. But I'm glad I'm married to a wife that's the mother of my children that gets with God every day. I know her. I've lived with her. I've been with her 54 years. I know what I'm talking about. And she'll get a hold of God every morning. If I need somebody to really pray for me, you know what? I got people in this room I contact on a regular basis. Pray for me when I get in a tight place. But I'd rather have my wife pray for me than anybody I know of today. And I'll say this to you, mamas. Hey, does your children know anything about your supplication? Are the time they hear you get a hold of God? Are the time they hear you somewhere in the bedroom by yourself crying out to God? Hey, hear me this morning. I'm telling you, Rahab, she's known for her saving faith. But Hannah's known for her supplicating faith. Somebody that can get a hold of God. Years ago, I was on visitation. I was at Turner's Creek. And I knocked on what used to be Bell's Motel in Hamptonville. I bet Brother Tim knows where it's at. It was Bell's Motel in Hamptonville. My wife and I, when we got married, that's where we spent our honeymoon. We was going to Boone, but today we got married, there's about that much snow on the ground. So we decided not to go to Boone, go on turn and go to the beach. I got saved since then. I don't go to the beach no more, I go to the coast. But anyhow, we turned to go there. We get down to Hamptonville, within 5 miles where I live. Snow was so deep, storm was on. We stopped at Bell's Motel and spent our honeymoon. Wasn't a soul there. There's a restaurant beside up, but nobody, one man running it. Wasn't nobody. Me and her, we'd go over in that little restaurant. I'd see that old gray-haired guy right now. He put quarters in the jukebox. And she wanted to dance. Now, shame too, but listen to me. Bell's Motel. I was out visiting one day, and Bell's Motel now is an old folks' home where old retired people, where they go. We started there. We're probably going to wind up there. But here's what I started to say. I was knocking on doors one day, and this lady came to the door. She's probably in her 80s, probably, Mom, probably 80 in her 80s. I said, I'm Preacher Barker. I'm from Turner's Creek Baptist Church. And we're working a bus route. We want to know if you'd like to ride a bus with us. When I said I was Preacher Barker, I thought I'd said a cuss word. She backed up about two steps and looked at me. I thought, what did I say? She said, are you really Preacher Barker from Turner's Creek on the radio every day? I said, I am. Miss Calorie Ballard. Man, she grabbed me and I grabbed her. I had no idea what it was about. She said, I've lived in Salisbury, Roland County for years. We used to house Percy Ray, J. Harold Smith, Dr. Percy, all them old preachers preached at camp meeting. They stayed in my house. My husband's been dead now for years and said, you don't know this preacher, but I've been hearing you on the radio. And said, I asked the Lord to let me move to this area where your church is and let me go to your church. And here you are. I couldn't believe it. And she wanted to come to my church for this reason. She wanted to be my prayer warrior. And every week, I preach revivals every week back in them days. I preach revivals every day, but anyhow, I preach revival about every week back in them days. And she'd come to me on Sunday and she'd say, Preacher, where are you going to be this week? And I'd tell her, she said, I'll be a praying. And every Sunday, Brother Jerry, I'd go to church. Miss Ballard, Dale would bring her around on a bus. And she'd come running up to me. How'd it go, Preacher? How'd it go? I remember one week I was in a revival meeting. It was tough. It was tough. Nothing was happening. It was awful. It's tough. Until Wednesday night. And at Wednesday night, I can tell you the time. It was 8:30. God broke in on that meeting. I'd never seen anything like it. God broke in on that meeting. You're talking about a meeting the rest of the week is unreal. I get to church on that following Sunday. Miss Ballard walks up to me and says, Preacher, how did the meeting go this week? I said, Miss Ballard, it was pretty tough. Till Wednesday night, she said 8:30. She touched heaven, buddy. Will y'all hear me this morning? You know what we need? We need some mamas that get in the closet. Get a hold of God. That's the hope of you young ones. Are y'all hearing me? That's the hope of them grandbabies. I was coming home this week. We'll go home a little bit. I was coming home this week. You're talking about a wonderful, 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 wonderful text. It wasn't a text, it's a FaceTime, wasn't it? Jeremiah FaceTimed me. Little Israel's been under conviction for a while. We left her alone, and you better let God do it. You better leave him alone. And she's been under conviction for a while. I went with her an altar time to and prayed with her. I didn't pressure anything. She's 5 years old. And boy, this week, I was coming home from revival. Jeremiah FaceTimed us. Was it Tuesday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, one night? Said Israel's got something she wants to tell you. Son, I went from 50 miles an hour to 193. Are y'all hearing me? I want to tell you, prayer works, Mama. Don't give up, Mama. Prayer works. Here's a mother this morning. Rahab was known for her saving faith. I want to say to you, Hannah was known for her supplicating faith. But I'll say number three, and I'm closing. I want to say Eunice. Y'all have any idea who that is? Let me read it to you. Eunice is known for her sound faith. Her sound faith. You know who Eunice is? As Timothy's mother. Let me read it to you here. Listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that means sound, solid, that is in thee, which was first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded, Paul says to Timothy, it's in you also. And he says in chapter 3, verse 15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something about Eunice. When you study about her, listen to me, she had a sound faith, just solid, just faithful to church, a prayer warrior, loved God, loved her family, stayed in church, lived for God. He writes about her right here in the Bible. But listen to this, mothers. From everything we can gather, her husband never did get saved. Listen to this. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, and the son of a certain woman, talking about Eunice, which was Jewish as Eunice, which believed, but her husband, listen to me, he didn't believe. He is a Greek. He is a Gentile. And from everything we can gather, he never did get saved. So I said that to say to you ladies this morning, if you've got a husband not saved, that's no excuse for you not living for God. You stay in there for God. You live for God. You stay in church. You can win him to God. Are you listening to me? I'm closing. You see, Rahab had saving faith. Hannah had supplicating faith. Eunice had sound faith. But I want to close by looking at the Syrophoenician woman. Do y'all know who that is? It's found in Matthew chapter 15. You want to read it with me? I'm going to read it to you. Matthew 15, watch this verse. I'm done. Matthew 15, watch this verse. It's right now, 4 minutes after 11. Look at this verse. It is in Alabama. The Syrophoenician woman had steadfast faith. She wouldn't give up. Watch this verse. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast, crying unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. She see what she just called him? She's a Gentile. That's a Jewish terminology. She's never supposed to say that. Thy son of David, thy daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. Get the picture. She's come to ask the Lord to cast a demon out of her daughter. And when she asks him, he don't even answer one word. Look at the verse. And he answered her in verse 23, not a word. And his disciples came. It gets worse. Watch this. His disciples came and besought him and said, send her away. Think about that. Send her away. And he said unto her in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, that got his attention, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast to the dogs. She's a Gentile. And she said, true, Lord. Yea, the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, you better not say that to your wife. O woman, great is thy faith. This Syrophoenician woman had a steadfast faith. Get this. She wouldn't give up. Her daughter's full of the devil, but she wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give in. She wouldn't give out. And when she addressed the Lord as the son of David, are you listening to me? When she addressed him as son of David, that's a Jewish terminology. Gentiles were not supposed to address the Lord that way. He didn't answer her one word. It made the disciples mad. They said, send her away. But you know what she done? She just kept coming. She had a steadfast faith. Think about this. Her race is against her. She probably thought the Lord was against her. And in that day, the rabbi had very little to do with the women. And she probably thought all of them was against her. But can I say this to you this morning? Here's a mother with a steadfast faith. Will you come up here to this piano? Don't play, just come. Can I ask you a question this morning, Mama? What kind of faith you got today? Do you have a saving faith? The greatest gift you'll ever give your children and husband is a saved wife and a saved mama. I'm not talking about religious. I'm not talking about being baptized, being a member of the church. I'm talking about saved, man. Saved. Not ashamed of it. Rahab had saving faith. Hannah had supplicating faith. She'd get a hold of God. Eunice had sound faith. But I want to say this Syrophoenician mother here, she had a steadfast faith. She comes to the Lord and said, Lord, I want you to cast the demon out of my daughter. Can I tell y'all something strange? I preached this in Georgia years and years ago. The pastor's name was Billy. When I got done preaching it, there's a woman met me in the vestibule and said, "My daughter's demon possessed. I want you to pray with us." I go to another state, and another church where the pastor's name's Billy. Preach this message again. Another woman meets me in the vestibule and says, "My daughter right here is demon possessed." I quit preaching it. But anyhow, will you pray with her? Y'all been so kind to listen to me preach this morning. I've not looked at the man. They're not much to look at, but I've been looking at you. Lovely mothers. And you know what your mothers have been doing, your young ladies have been doing while I preached this morning? Miss Linda, here's what y'all been doing. You did too. That's what the mothers been doing. Now, fellas, they all been asleep because they don't think it applies to them, but they, you mothers, can I ask you a question? Do you know, Mama, do you know? I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about do you know that you're going to hell this morning? You say, "Preacher, I think I would. I hope I would. I'm hoping when it's all said and done, I'll get to go in." It don't work that way. You either are or ain't. I know that's not good English, but you understand it. We're in low gap. You either are or not. Are you listening to me? Do you know that you're saved? And Mama, let me ask you this question. Has your children ever heard you get a hold of God and pray for them? Have they ever heard you call their name to God? Are you listening? Hey, Mom, have you got that sound faith that's steadfast Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night stuff? Hey, Mom, have you got that steadfast faith? Don't give up. I could tell you story after story after story of people that did not give up on their children. It looked like there's no hope and looked like there's no way. Man, but today they're serving God. Today they're living for God.